Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hi, B. Why is Geraldine looking terrified and crouched all the way on top of the bookshelf?
Hi, Elliot. Well, in honor of one of our subjects today, writer E.B. White, I thought it would be fun to bring in a special guest star to play one of his beloved characters, Stuart Little, who, you know, is a...
a mouse. I thought we'd learned this lesson after I brought my son's class mouse in. Elephants are scared of mice.
Oh, Elliot, I never learn.
Well, at least you didn't bring in a special guest star from our other subject, author Maurice Sendak, who famously wrote and illustrated Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, right. About that.
Ah! It's a wild thing! Geraldine, make room on that bookshelf! Ah!
Wow, Elliot, great jump. Now, let me introduce you all to our other guest star. In honor of Charlotte's Web, I also brought this spider.
Ah!
Huh, would you look at that? I didn't know mice and wild things were afraid of spiders. I also didn't realize that bookshelf could hold all that weight.
It can. Eric, play the theme song.
Here we go. What do you think you know about the greats from history? The game is on, get some energy and buckle up your brain, cause it's time to play. It's the Who Was Podcast, cause it's time to play the Who Was Podcast.
Who was?
Live from Tongvaland, or so-called SoCal Los Angeles, welcome to Who Was, the history quiz show that gives contestants the chance to win mega prizes and podcast glory. I'm your announcer, Bee, and I've definitely earned my stripes. That's a Bee joke. And now, here's your host, the man who makes as many fashion rules as he breaks. It's Elliot Kalin!
Thank you, Bee. You know, today's fashion don't is tomorrow's fashion do. And welcome, everyone, to the Who Was Podcast. This show is like Jeopardy, only with secret guests, silly games, and an unpublished secret menu.
Hey, if you know, you know.
Our two contestants were sent Who Was books about two great figures from history. Now they're here to show off their knowledge in the hopes of winning fantastic prizes, prizes.
Today, we're talking about E.B. White and Maurice Sendak, two popular children's book authors who loved zany characters just as much as we do.
But before we learn about them, let's learn about our contestants.
First up, we have Athena. Athena, will you please introduce yourself?
I'm Athena, and I have three cats, Alexander Hamilton, Yumyum Hammerclaw, and Wibblesnip Cumberbun. I wrote my first 20-chapter book a year ago, and my pronouns are she, her.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there was a lot of information in that. Thank you. Those were all fun and all facts. I'm interested in this book that you wrote.
Yeah.
It's a 20-chapter book.
Yeah.
What is it about?
Dragons?
That's the best word you could have said. I wasn't sure what word you were going to say, but that was the perfect word. I didn't think it was going to be that, but that's a great word for it to be.
So what is the title of your book?
I have no idea. I wrote it a year ago.
Okay.
That's in the past. I love this attitude, which is, hey, I don't talk about my old work. That's behind
me. That's
right. I'm all about the future. So what are you working on now? Are you working on another book?
Yeah.
Is it also about dragons?
Yeah, it's the same series thing.
Oh, it's part of a whole series. Wow. Well, that is so exciting. I cannot wait to read this. Once I find out what the title is, I will definitely check it out from my local library.
Yeah, I can't wait when I go into a bookstore and I say, do you have this book? And they say, what's it called? And I say, I don't know, but it's about dragons. And they say, we know exactly the book you're talking about.
Exactly.
I go, yeah.
Hey, that's just another instance. If you know, you know. It's the secret menu of books. All right. And with us, thank you so much for sharing, Athena. And with us today, we also have Carolyn. Carolyn, will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Carolyn. My pronouns are she, her, and I love giraffes.
And you love giraffes. Wow, that's so cool because giraffes are like the dragons of the zoo.
Of the jungle. Yeah, or the zoo.
Of the jungle. Of the zoo.
Of the zoo jungle. Jungle zoo?
Do giraffes live in the jungle?
Listen, this is not a show about facts. Except, wait a minute, this is exactly a show about facts.
So hold on, yeah. Well, we'll have to wait for the Who Was Giraffes episode.
Yeah, geez, what is this, a quiz show? Come on.
Yeah, come on, who's supposed to be doing the quizzing around here?
Right.
Carolyn, what is it about giraffes that you like so much?
They're yellow.
It's a good answer, not the answer I expected. Again, we're getting a lot of good unexpected answers from our contestants today. What I like about giraffes is those knobs on the top of their heads. They're already super tall. They already have super long necks. They're already yellow. They don't need any extras, but they've got them. Those weird knob horns on the top of their head.
What do they do? Do they serve a purpose, the knob horns on top of their head?
Oh, producer Jane is saying that's how you steer a giraffe. That makes sense.
Okay.
See, there's the steering knobs. Well, please don't try it at home, listeners. Don't get on a giraffe and try steering them with that knob.
Where would I have a giraffe at home?
Probably in your attic. It would just have to start on the bottom floor and then end up in the attic.
Yeah, maybe it sticks its head up through the chimney.
Yeah.
Also, again, if you have a giraffe at home, don't put its neck up through the chimney. But it's very likely that you don't have a giraffe at home, in which case, maybe go get one and pick up that book about dragons. Thank you both, Athena and Carolyn, for being with us today. I'm very excited about this show today. And, of course, thanks to our musician, Eric, for providing that lovely Meet the Contestants music and all the music on today's show. So that's Who Is. Now let's find out who was E.B. White with four fast facts.
Four fast facts.
E.B. White was born Elwin Brooks White in 1899 and died in 1985.
He wrote over 20 books for adults and kids, but he is best known for writing the beloved children's books Stuart Little and Charlotte's Web.
He was also a poet, an essayist, and a humorist, and contributed writing and drawings to some of the most popular magazines of all time.
He is a winner of many awards, including the Children's Literature Legacy Award and an American Academy of Arts and Letters Gold Medal.
Four fast facts.
So, Athena and Carolyn, we're wondering, had you read any of E.B. White's books before you read the book about E.B. White? Carolyn, had you ever read either, like, Stuart Little or Charlotte's Web or Trumpeter of the Swan? Yeah.
I don't think I've read them, but I definitely have watched Charlotte's Web.
Okay, cool. What about you, Athena? Had you read any of those books?
I almost read the Stuart Little in fourth grade, but instead I read a other book.
About dragons?
Was it?
That's a good guess. That's a good guess about the other book was. So have you seen any of the movies, like Carolyn has?
Nope. Didn't know they existed.
Oh, well, the books themselves, they're really beautiful books. They're favorites in our household. They're very interesting children's books because there's something very sweet about them, but there's also something a little grown-up about them. I feel like when I was a kid, E.B. White's books were the most grown-up children's books that I read, and they really made me feel special that way because it felt like I was getting something more than I was used to from kids' books.
They're really beautiful and a little sad.
Yeah.
So, Be prepared. You've been warned.
If you're reading an E.B. White book, make sure you got a box of tissues next to you, because you're going to be a-crying, and you're going to need to dry those tears.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for joining us, and let's punctuate this delightful conversation with our first game, one that honors E.B. White's poetry as much as his prose. It's everyone's favorite rhyme with two lines. It's a couplet.
One, two.
It's a couplet.
One, two.
It's a couplet.
In this game, we have a rhyming couplet with one word missing. Fill in the blank with the correct rhyming word. So, for example, if I said something like, when I look out the window, I see a tree, and on a branch I spy my co-host named, the correct answer is B, which rhymes with tree. Also, B, get down from there. B, get back in the studio.
I told you I prefer to work under dangerous conditions. Ugh, fine.
And since this is our first game, each question is worth 1 point. Take it away, B.
Athena, here is your couplet. E.B. White was certainly no fool, but when he was a kid, he did not like going to
school.
That's right, the answer is school. Young E.B. disliked school, but E.B. was still always writing. He kept a journal for his entire life, starting at age 9. He also won prizes for his writing at the age of 9. He went on to be the editor of his college newspaper, and he enjoyed a class about grammar from one of his college professors, William Strunk Jr., and he revised Strunk's book, The Elements of Style, later in his life. Okay, the next question is for Carolyn.
For a while, E.B. once worked on a cruise ship, but before that, went with his pal on a cross-country
road trip?
That's exactly right. The answer is road trip. After college, E.B. wasn't sure what he should do next, so he and his friend decided to go across the country in a Model T car they called Hotspur. Pretty cool name for a car. They drove from New York State and ended up in Washington State, where E.B. took a job writing for the Seattle Times newspaper. E.B. later wrote about these adventures as magazine articles. Through his experience, he learned that he wanted to write about life as he saw it. Okay, the next question is for Athena. B, take it away.
Athena, here's your couplet. Before E.B. wrote Charlotte's Web, featuring a famous porker, he lived in New York and wrote humor pieces for a magazine, The
New Yorker?
Exactly right. The answer is The New Yorker. The New Yorker is a very influential magazine that helped start the careers of some of America's most important writers, but not me. They've rejected several pieces I've submitted. E.B. liked the way that it combines news articles, humor pieces, poetry, and cartoons. The New Yorker even helped to shape E.B.'s life by introducing him to other writers and to his future wife, Catherine Sargent Angle, who was a writer and the fiction editor at The New Yorker. Maybe you've never heard of Catherine, but she was instrumental in shaping American literature. And the next question is for Carolyn.
For E.B., the character of Stuart Little was a sure bet. When he was young, he even had a mouse as a
pet.
That's right, the answer is pet. E.B. kept a house mouse as a pet. The idea for Stuart Little came to E.B. in a dream. He talked about it with Anne Carroll Moore, an important children's librarian. She didn't think it was a good idea for a book, so he put the idea away for years until a different editor loved the idea. When he published Stuart Little, Anne Carroll Moore gave it a bad review, and it was even banned from some libraries. E.B. thought he had made a big mistake until thousands of fan letters from kids poured in. It remains one of the best-selling children's books of all time, and that's the end of the game.
It's a couplet.
One, two.
It's a couplet.
Amazing. Now let's scurry over to producer Jane with the scores.
Elliot and B, I don't mind telling you, we have a tied game with 2 points each.
Thank you, Jane. And now, ladies and gentlemen, and mice, spiders, and pigs, please welcome to the show, E.B. White.
Thanks.
Who was that? You want to reach someone in the past? All you need is the who was that? Who was that?
Hey, E.B., did anyone ever call you Eb, like Ed, but with a B?
Absolutely not.
Cool. That can be our thing, then.
May I refuse?
Wait a minute here. The listeners at home can't see this, but E.B. has a soundboard in front of him, and he's hitting a different key at the end of his sentences.
I sure am.
There's that boing again. What gives?
Well, I'm best known for my work as a children's book author, but certainly more influential was my revision of the writing manual, The Elements of Style.
I thought that was a book about, like, how to pull off wearing fancy clothes or how to match shoes and all that.
Oh, far from it, B. The Elements of Style is the book on American English writing style and punctuation. It's been named one of the best and most influential books of all time by critics and authors alike.
Okay, but it's a grammar book?
But grammar can be fun. I whipped up this soundboard here to play a different sound effect to represent different punctuation for your listening audience.
Grammar and funny noises? I never thought all my interests would align so completely. This is genius, EB.
I took the liberty of adding an exclamation point on the end of that sentence for you. Now, let me take you through the soundboard. If I were to say, "May I have a glass of milk?" you'd know it was a question by the violin string sound effect. And if I remembered my manners and said, "May I have a glass of milk, please?" then you'd know there was a comma before the "please." And those wiggly sounds mean quotations. The tap is just a plain as you please period.
Wow, what about apostrophes? Ellipses? Semicolon?
Yeah, now you're getting it. Would you like to try it?
Sure, scooch over, Eb.
B, I'm pretty sure he was talking to me. I'm the grammar enthusiast here.
I turned your statement into a question.
You should have hit the tap sound. That wasn't a semicolon, that was a statement.
Oh no, B, put your statement in quotations. It's been rendered ironic.
I'm just having fun with the buttons, boys.
Oh, she just put 3 exclamation points on the end of that statement. This is chaos. Oh, dear, now she's found the ampersand. She must be stumped. Elliot, for the love of grandma, do something.
I'm too discombobulated. My mind is a jumble of quotes and commas.
Woohoo, yeehaw! Producer Jane?
What? I unplugged it.
Producer Jane, my hero. Oh, I shall never forget you. Now, I must be off. I'm having chicken fingers with Shakespeare. He helped me on some new poems. Thanks again for having me, and thanks again, Who Was At?
Who Was At?
Thank you, Jane. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more games, so don't go anywhere. Eric, play us some Elements of Style music, please.
I before E.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
We're back on the Who Was podcast. Today we're finding out who was Evie White and who was Maurice Sendak. And now, back to your host, Elliot Kalin.
Thank you, Bea. Let's keep the game moving and find out who was Maurice Sendak with four fast facts.
Four fast facts.
Maurice Sendak was born in 1928 and died in 2012.
Maurice Sendak was the son of Polish-Jewish immigrants and grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
Maurice wrote and illustrated many of the most beloved children's books, including Where the Wild Things Are, In the Night Kitchen, and Chicken Soup with Rice.
He is a celebrated LGBTQIA hero, and he has two elementary schools named after him.
Four fast facts.
Okay, now we're wondering the same thing that we wondered about E.B. White's books. Had either of you read any of Maurice Sendak's books before you read the Who Was Maurice Sendak book?
I think in, like, first grade, our teacher read Where the Wild Things Are, but, like, I mostly only remember the pictures.
Yeah, the pictures are really beautiful.
He drew those. I think Maurice Sendak wouldn't mind that. He drew the pictures. They're really gorgeous. Maurice Sendak's art is very, it's very beautiful, and it also can be very funny, and it can also be very scary, and it can also be very moving. It's really amazing. I'm speaking about him a lot because I'm going to let you and the audience peek behind the curtain. My wife is a children's librarian, and we talk about children's books a lot in my house, and Maurice Sendak is a particular favorite of ours, very special in our house. Carolyn, knowing that, knowing how important Maurice Sendak is to me, have you ever read any of his books?
No pressure.
I read Where the Wild Things Are.
Okay, I'll take that. Since we're all familiar with Where the Wild Things Are, let's let the wild rumpus start with our next game, Sound Effects Safari.
Sound Effects Safari, Sound Effects Safari, Sound Effects Safari.
Why'd they take a baby on a safari? In this game, we will play a sound effect inspired by something important from Maurice Sendak's life. Our contestants will tell us what the sound effect represents. And because this is our second game, each question is worth 2 points. Here is our first sound effect for Carolyn.
That was Mickey Mouse's iconic laugh. Why is Mickey Mouse significant for Maurice's life? Is it because A, Maurice was rejected from a job at Disney, or B, Mickey Mouse was Maurice's childhood hero?
B.
That's right, the answer is B. Mickey Mouse was born the same year as Maurice. Maurice said he loved Mickey Mouse because he was, quote, sassy and always thinking of ways to outdo people. At least, the original version of Mickey was that way. Maurice would see Mickey Mouse films at the theater, he would leap up on his seat and scream. His sister and brother had to hold him down. Maurice named Mickey, the main character of his book In the Night Kitchen, after Mickey Mouse. Okay, the next question is for Athena.
That sound effect for you is kids playing outside. Which answer best describes why this is significant to Maurice? Is it A, Maurice was often sick as a child and watched his neighbors play from inside his house? Or B, Maurice was once commissioned by the Borough of Brooklyn to create a Maurice Sendak playground?
A.
That's right, the answer is A. Maurice often watched the kids in his neighborhood from his parents' window. He said, quote, so many happy memories are being indoors and looking out windows. Later in life, while staying with his parents, Maurice overheard kids in the neighborhood talking to each other. One kid he always noticed was a bold girl named Rosie. He was so delighted by hearing the stories she told other kids, he used her as the inspiration for his book, The Sign on Rosie's Door, which became a musical called Really Rosie, another favorite in the Kalin household. The next sound effect is for Carolyn.
Oi, weiss mir, sollts wachsen wie ein Zwiebeln mit Kopf in Dröd.
Okay, Carolyn, that was Elliot speaking in Yiddish. Why would this be significant to Maurice's life? Is it A, his favorite musical was Fiddler on the Roof? Or B, as the son of Polish immigrants, much of his family spoke Yiddish?
B.
That's right, the answer is B. Maurice's parents immigrated from Poland. His family was Jewish, so they spoke Yiddish at home. Maurice's book, Where the Wild Things Are, was inspired by the phrase Wilde Haie, which his mother called him when he was a boy. This roughly translates to wild animal in English. His Yiddish relatives used to say to him, you look so good, I could eat you up, which is very similar to what the wild things say to Max, the little boy, in the book. The final question is for Athena.
That is a snippet from a Mozart song. How does this sound effect relate to Maurice Sendak? Is it A, Maurice loved and was inspired by Mozart's music, or B, he had a beloved pet cat he named Mozart?
A?
That's right, the answer is A. Maurice once said, "I know if there's a purpose in life, it was for me to hear Mozart." I mean, wow, this guy loved Mozart. Later in his career, Maurice designed costumes for Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, and he went on to design over a dozen more operas, including an operatic adaptation of his book, Where the Wild Things Are. And that's Sound Effects Safari.
Sound Effects Safari, Sound Effects Safari, Sound Effects Safari.
Amazing game, everybody. You're both doing so well. Let's wild rumpus over to producer Jane to get the scores.
Elliot and B, we have a tie still with 6 points each.
And don't go anywhere. We'll be back for our final game after this quick break. Eric, please play us some Vilda Chaya music, please.
You're giving me Soros.
Who was there? C'est moi, Marie Curie. You may remember me from winning multiple Nobel Prizes or perhaps from my episode of the Who Was podcast where I played myself. I wanted to take a moment to read one of my favorite reviews about the Who Was podcast. This is from Shake and Bake and it reads, "Loved this. Me and my little sister love this show. More please. Our fave is Harriet Tubman." If you want to hear your review read on the air, make sure to subscribe, like, and review to the Who Was podcast in the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Au revoir, or should I say, a bientôt!
When the clock is started.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
We're back on the Who Was podcast, where we're learning all about who was E.B. White and who was Maurice Sendak. And now, back to your host, Elliot Kalin.
Thank you, B. With not a moment to lose, we're heading on to our last game, Converge of Greatness. In this multiple-choice game, we'll explore how our famous people connect, overlap, or converge. Choose the best answer for each question, and because this is covering double the topics of our last game, it will be worth triple the points. I know, it sounds mad, but that's how we do things on the Who Was podcast. The first question is for Athena.
E.B. White and Maurice Sendak worked with this editor who helped publish some of America's favorite children's books. Was that person A, Ursula Nordstrom, B, Amelia Bedelia, or C, Mr. Popper, Penguins, Random House?
Ursula Nordstrom.
That's right, the answer is A. Ursula Nordstrom was the editor to both Maury Sendak and E.B. White. Editors work with authors to help them improve their books. Ursula helped Maurice land his first illustrating work. And when Ursula read Stuart Little, she knew it was something special. She helped E.B. publish it even after others put it down. She worked with E.B. on Charlotte's Web and The Trumpet of the Swan. Ursula, what a visionary! Okay, the next question is for Carolyn.
World War II greatly affected Maurice and E.B. White. Sadly, Maurice lost most of his extended family in Poland in the Holocaust. He responded to this terrible loss with the art and words of his books. E.B. White responded to the end of the war by writing A. Stuart Little 2, Let's Get Tiny, B. his first and only rock album, or C. a book about an ideal government called Wild Flag.
C.
Yes, you're right. The answer is C. Inspired by the first meeting of the United Nations, E.B. wrote The Wild Flag, a book filled with ideas on how one world government could give everyone the same basic freedoms. E.B. also wrote pieces in support of the civil rights movement in the 1960s and was an early environmentalist who helped scientist and writer Rachel Carson get published early in her career. We have an episode about Rachel Carson. Go check it out. It's great. But first, before you do that, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Check out this next question. It's for Athena.
Both E.B. White and Maurice Sendak were dog people. That doesn't mean they had wet noses and floppy ears. It means they loved dogs. E.B. had a dog that would walk him home from school most days. And Maurice wrote a book all about his beloved dog, who was named A. Mozart, B. Max, or C. Jenny.
C.
That's right, the answer is C. Maurice called his dog Jenny the love of my life. As long as she was alive, Jenny was featured somewhere in every book Maurice drew. When Jenny started nearing the end of her life, Maurice wrote a book all about her called Higgledy Piggledy Pop. That ends with her leaving home forever, but writing a note to Maurice telling him she is very happy. Aw, that's so sweet. And the final question is for Carolyn.
E.B. White and Maurice Sendak were both influenced by the time they spent living in New York City, but they both eventually left for quieter places. Maurice and his partner Eugene lived in Connecticut, but E.B. and his family moved to this state. Was it A, New Hampshire, B, Maine, or C, Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania?
I'm so sorry. The answer is B, Maine. Maine and the love of nature, animals, and the outdoors played a big role in much of E.B.'s life, starting when he was a boy. He spent summers in Maine as a way to help his allergies. And as an adult, he lived in Maine full-time and had a farm. He came up for the idea of Charlotte's Web after seeing a spider's web near the pigs in the barn. All this Maine talk is pretty cool, but if you want to read a great essay about a city, read E.B. White's Here Is New York. It's a 55-page delight. That's way shorter than a 20-chapter book about dragons and almost as cool. And that's the end of the round. That heavenly music means it's the end of the game, which means it's almost the end of the show. While we wait for Jane to write out everyone's points in her web, I'd love to hear from the contestants. What was something you were surprised to learn about E.B. White or Maurice Sendak? Athena, what surprised you?
That Maurice, at some point in his life, wanted to draw till he died.
Maurice really loved drawing more than anything else in the world, seems like, even more than Mozart. And yet he continued working all the way up until the very end of his life, which is very exciting to me, someone who hopes to never retire and to be always writing and always hosting podcasts until they force the microphone away from me in the hospital when I'm a very old man. Maybe I'm like 100 or 150 years old.
And Elliot, I steal the mic from you all the time. And, you know, you're only 25 years old, so.
That's true. That's true. Wait a minute. Was that a laugh from Athena at the idea that I might be 25 years old?
25.
Which is true, I am not. I haven't been 25 in a while. Let's move on to Carolyn. Carolyn, what surprised you about E.B. White or Maurice Sendak?
That you got inspiration for Charlotte's Web by seeing a spider web.
Isn't it amazing how you can see something so small just in everyday life and suddenly it can turn into a story in your head? I myself am also a picture book writer. And my first picture book, which is called Horse Meets Dog, was inspired by once seeing a dog looking at a horse and trying to think about, what does that dog think about that horse? And isn't it amazing? You can just look at animals, and then suddenly, you've got a story in your head. It can happen anywhere to anybody. I bet tomorrow, you will walk by something and you just glance at something and you'll see it, and suddenly a whole story will jump into your head.
Hey, I've got an idea. How about the giraffe in the attic?
The giraffe with the dragons.
Or the giraffe and the dragons, exactly.
Thank you both for sharing things that particularly spoke to you in a surprising way about these figures from history. Now for the great moment. Jane, please spin that news in your web and announce our winner.
Elliot and B, I don't mind telling you that once again, a question about Maine has tripped up a contestant. Carolyn had 9 points, but my good friend Athena darted ahead with 12.
Great job, Athena. And Carolyn, great job too. It was a super close game. And now, Athena, as our winner, you have 10 seconds for shout-outs. Who are you going to thank for bringing you to this victory?
Thanks, Mom and Dad and my school bestie, McKenna, and my all-time besties, Clementine and Miriam. See you soon, Clementine.
Oh, nice.
That's great. Yeah. Our winner and their library of choice will be receiving a selection of Who Was Books, and I'm going to give my own shout-out to intern Zach, to Jane, to Eric, to Matt Zambrano for being our E.B. White, and to B, and a big thank you to both of our contestants for playing a simply wonderful game today. And, of course, thank you to you, the listener, for listening. Next week, we'll find out about two more amazing people from the past. Until then, this is Elliot, Kaylin saying, we're history. Goodbye, everybody. Got a question for any of our famous figures, or do you want to be a contestant? Send us a voice memo at thewhowaspodcast@gmail.com. It or you might just end up on the show. The Who Was Podcast is produced by Radio Point, iHeartMedia, and Penguin Workshop, and is based on the best-selling Who HQ series published by Penguin. This show is hosted by Elliot Kaylin with co-host Megan O'Neill as B. It also stars Jane Baker as Jane, Eric Shackney as Eric, and Matt Zambrano as E.B. White. Our executive producers are Richard Corson, Alex Bach, Elliot Kaylin, Megan O'Neill, Daniel Powell, and Houston Snyder. Our executive producer for Penguin Workshop is, of course, Francesco Sedita, and our executive producer for iHeartMedia is Lindsay Hoffman. This episode was written by Megan O'Neill, Elliot Kaylin, and Devin Coleman. It was produced by Bernie Kaminsky and Taylor Kowalski. The talent was produced by Jane Baker. The theme song and the music were composed and performed by Eric Shackney. It was edited and mixed by Kate Moldenhauer. It was recorded by Allison Worth. Special thanks to Zach Timpson, Charlotte D'Anda, Daniel Goodman, Michael Lewis Howard. Special thanks to all of them. The Who Was podcast was recorded at the iHeart Studios in Los Angeles, California. Sound services were provided by who else? Great City Post.
It's the Who Was podcast, because it's time to play the Who Was podcast.
Who Was?
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.